Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along, episode 33 of the Milk Bar. Jason Zoe with you for yet another week. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You haven't even taken your coat off yet.
I know, because it's a bit cold in here.
It's a smidgen chilly in the milk bar.
It's going to be freezing, I believe, tonight.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Because that means a lot to our podcast audience who are now in tropical climes.
Like where?
I don't know this, but because they could
be. Have you got somebody in tropical climate?
I can check. I'll check the IP addresses later for you.
Ooh, I know it's America.
Yeah.
Got some there. Was it Canada as well?
We have regular listeners in Canada for some completely unknown reason.
Is it hot there?
Not normally, no. It's top end of America's.
You get people go there for skiing, don't they?
So. Yeah. It's right next to Alaska.
Ah, might be a bit chilly there.
Might be a bit cold. So, what have you been up to this week, young lady?
Not a lot, really. Work. Lots of work.
Mm hmm. Is the shop opening anywhere closer?
Oh, gosh, no. We're still waiting for the lease to go through.
Okay, so you're not having any fun with
I
that
I was
one.
Playing at shops over the weekend, though. We've got our till system up and running now, and I've got to log all the stock onto it.
And you've got it all in the front room?
It is, actually. Everywhere. We've got some security gates in the back room, a counter in the back room so we can pretend to sell things.
So it's a lovely place to be, just at the minute.
Brilliant.
So fingers crossed that we'll be done this week and we can start getting stuff in.
Well, that's the world of the Turner family.
Yes.
That's good.
How are you, Jason?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm fine. Nothing too exciting happened for me. Well, I had a game of football to watch on Saturday. And that's about it, really.
I haven't seen you updating your photos recently.
On Facebook. And, well, I put one on Saturday, but it's like having a life or updating Facebook. So it's one of the two. And I just had to
you
go
were always
and
on there at one point. Every time you went to a new house.
Oh, I've got somewhere to take photos. It's easy on your BlackBerry. You press one button, it's online before
and
you
I
know it.
I believe you've put photos of cakes and things like that on there as well.
That's my other hobby.
Being but, sad.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that, but there we are. Right, on the podcast today, we, in a very short whilst time, will be hearing from MuzzCom, Wolverhampton's musical comedy guys. Say hello.
Hello.
They're quite loud. And also here with us in the milk bar, moments away from Dr. Susan Murray, comedian. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Yes, I'm Boston. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. a little bit later. I like that.
She did that accent slightly better than you, Jason.
I know, it's because she's...
I'm far more common, that's why.
And also on the phone later, we're talking what?
Matt Thomas.
We're talking Matt Thomas.
Yes, musical consultant.
Okay, that's on the way a little bit later on. But let's first of all have a little chat with Miss Murray, who's sat directly behind me. So not to be rude, I will turn round slightly. So, comedian on the comedy circuit. I've heard you on Radio 4.
Have you really?
Yeah, you've been on telly and stuff as well, haven't you?
Well, you know, it goes with the territory, don't it?
It's part of the job. So what sort of stuff do you do then?
I do general kind of observational stuff, bit of topical, bit of relationships. I do quite a lot of stuff about accents at the moment because I'm developing a show for the Edinburgh Festival, which is going to be about accents, mainly because mine's so hysterical. It's about drinking, it's about sex, it's about men.
Ooh, can you hear some about men? Can you make one up about Jason? That would be quite funny.
Well, he's spent all night doing his own, he's not come out with it, has he? He's a bit bald, listeners, by the way.
It has featured a bit, my lack of hair, over the week, so I get picked on quite a lot. So
apparently, it's just high levels of testosterone, which probably means you're very good in bed. Sniggers all around the studio.
So suddenly it goes strangely quiet, but there we go.
Now, you have to ask your best mate about that. He'll know, won't he?
What? Who?
You know, your chappy you had on, Rob, what's his face?
Oh, Rob Heaney.
Yes,
I've never been to bed with Rob Heaney, strangely.
And Rob Heaney's not bald?
No.
But he'll know about you, you know, what you was like at university.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to uni with Rob Heaney?
I went to university with Rob Heaney. we both did a degree in chemical physics.
Oh my god, you pair of geeks. I didn't realise that Rob was that much of a geek, hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
And was he a control freak then?
No, we didn't see that much of him. He rarely turned up to any of his lectures.
Good boy.
He used to borrow my notes. It's amazing he actually managed to pass anything at all on the grounds that my handwriting's abysmal.
What grade did he get?
He got a third.
There you go.
There's nothing wrong with that. I did as well. Half our course got a third. It was joint honours, which made it tricky.
I see.
That's our excuse and we're
sticking
to
it. It just sounds way too difficult anyway. Where did you do it?
Liverpool.
Ooh, dear.
Yeah. Nice place. I like Liverpool.
Really?
Okay, on your accents, can you do the Scouser accent for us?
Oh, that's not a problem, to be honest. I've been mistaken for a Scouser before, you know.
Where?
Outside of the Birmingham area.
Okay. Where they hadn't got a clue what you were saying
anyway. Exactly, yeah.
Just couldn't understand. So where else do you get your inspiration from accents from? Are they all UK based?
They are, yeah. Well, actually, no, I was in America in the summer visiting cousins, so I do a little bit of American stuff because my cousins, they moved to the south. And I was in a bar and somebody said to me, "You ain't from round these parts, are you?" And I went, "How can you tell? Is it because I have all of my own teeth and both of my eyes pointing the same direction?" And then I was asked the weirdest question I've ever been asked in my life, which was, "What's fly fishing like in England?" And I just thought, do I look like J.R. Hartley?
Yeah, and everybody does that over here, I take it.
Fly fishing? I mean, you could have asked about, like, you know, the binge drinking, fighting on the streets, but no, we need to know about fly fishing. I really don't look like a fly fisher, do I?
You don't. I have to admit, you do not look like a fly fisherman.
Good, that's good.
You were worried for a short while after that.
Yeah. But my inspiration mainly comes, I think it comes from the fact that my parents, well, you know my parents, they're Scottish.
They are, very Scottish, in fact.
They're awfully Scottish. And I had a Scottish accent when I was a kid, and it gradually left me as I went to school and then comprehensive in St Thomas More. Mm. And so I've kind of always been quite fascinated because mine's quite fluid. I mean, I went on holiday to Ireland when I was 10 as a kid. Not on my own, I must hasten to add.
So you weren't abandoned over there?
No, no, no. And I came back and I had an Irish accent for 3 days because I, you know, I just was doing Irish accents the whole time I was there. So, and I've just, that is just, I mean, I did my dissertation at college on accents in the media, mm-hmm. and I've always been fascinated by them. And because I travel all over the country for work, I get to hear, you know, more accents than, you know, any kind of person that, you know.
So, yeah, well, for round here, we can tell the difference between Dudley, Birmingham, Wolverhampton, Willenhall, and we can spot the different accents as we're talking to people, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
you
all Midlands.
You find mine quite funny sometimes, don't you, James?
Your accent is atrocious. Yes. It's the way you mispronounce the letter O that still confuses me, as we covered last week.
How do you
week.
Pronounce the letter O?
Well, apparently I say phone quite funny and one.
You say phone?
One. Yes. I say one. So I say phone, that's kind of Willenhall, isn't it? Are you, where are you from?
From Ford Houses, Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah, I'm posh, yeah.
She likes the things she is.
No, but you see, my mum's originally from London. She came up here when she was, like, older, and my dad's from Stafford, so I shouldn't really have much of an accent, but I do, apparently.
But it's because it's school that influences you, and your peers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peers. Fowen. Wayne. Fowen.
Well, ye is the other good one, isn't it? Because that's a Willenhall thing, to say ye rather than year. Because yours Birmingham. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Years Birmingham, yeah.
Like, my parents are from Smethwick, so I was just completely confused the first time I heard that one. And the word purple.
Purple.
My mother still tells the story of the first day I came back from school, and someone was asking me for a purple crayon, and I had no idea what they were on about.
Purple. I like the way people up here go, "Should we went?"
Yeah.
Should we go? Yeah. I love that.
Let's just not use the language properly at all.
Well, it's just quite amusing, isn't it, really? Mm. But can you imagine my mum coming down from Glasgow and like landing in Willenhall and trying to ask for a turnip, right? Going, "Can I have a turnip, please?" And they're going, "What? A turnip?" And she said, "I was mortified because I had to go, turnip." But no one in our family even likes turnips. I don't know why she was buying them in the first place.
It's a challenge, I suppose, sometimes.
Yeah, I suppose so. It keeps you entertained, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the accent thing, that's part of it. You've talked a bit about love in the past, I know, and was that a stressful time? Things you know and things that are causing you problems?
Well, I was single for 7 years.
Yeah, and there was a run of shows on that, wasn't there?
I did a dating show because I did lots of internet dating. As research, I must hasten to... No, that's a lie. I was just desperate. Which came first, the internet dating or the show? Obviously, the internet dating. Anyway, I did a lot of that, and then I thought this is quite amusing. So I haven't really been doing it my set recently because it's just getting a bit old. I want to put other stuff in there. Mm-hmm. But I do some of it as my club set, and I did do a whole hour show on that, and I did it at Leicester, and I did it down in Dartmouth and Glasgow Comedy Festival. I didn't take it up to the main Edinburgh Festival. I'm doing a different show there this year instead. I'm doing the accents one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like change what you do from depending on what town or city you're in?
Depends, yeah, if you're going to slag off Manchester, right, you don't do it in Manchester, you do that in Liverpool. Because you know which, you know, like the Southampton.
No, but
Portsmouth,
you change like the jokes that you do because you think, oh, they won't find it funny around this area.
I don't do stuff about Brighton in the north. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Kind of like that north-south thing. Because, or in Scotland, like, you know, in Glasgow, they're not going to give a toss that Brighton's the gay capital of Europe. So I would drop that. So you do just a little bit, but the bulk of it stays the same. Yeah. But like, there is just little bits that you change. I mean, I do Geordie jokes when I'm in Newcastle and stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't really do that down Brighton because they might not get it. So you do, you know, you are aware of your geographical location, so to speak.
No, I mean, do you find that different cities have different... sense of humour, so perhaps...
Not massively, actually. No. No.
Put a few beers inside and they will laugh. Well, along, hopefully.
It actually depends more on the club itself. I mean, if you're doing somewhere in, like, Muswell Hill in North London, the very posh area, you get a lot of posh middle-class students coming in. They're going to laugh at different things. So, like, say, a club in the middle of Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I don't have any stuff on Sartre. I do apologise.
When you're actually working these places, what is it actually like on the circuit? Because obviously I've spoken to Rob a few times. I've listened to his podcast, Doubling Up, which he hasn't got you on yet, has he?
No.
I'm going to have
not
words.
Not very pleased about that.
I shall have word to them. Shall see if we can sort it out.
If you want to.
You're back in London fairly soon. I shall talk to Mr. Heaney on that one.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's all sorts of tales of the terrible woes that go on when you're actually a jobbing comedian on the road.
Well, it's got its good points, and it's like any job. It's got its good points. I mean, the good points are I can lie in on a Monday and do nothing. On a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I can go out all night and stay up drinking with my comedy mates if I want to. That's the best bit of it. The worst bit of it is you're constantly on the road. You're constantly travelling. You're constantly on trains. You're constantly in traffic jams. You're always in hotel rooms, which might seem quite exciting to begin with, but actually, you just go, I'm just sick of looking at these four walls. Mm. And all, you know, you don't have any social life because you're working when everybody else is playing. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and possibly Sundays, that's when you work. That's when you're away from it. I don't get into anybody's birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Even with that, you just hang around with a load of other comedians who've got nothing better to do on a Monday.
Well, we generally...
avoid each other, for example.
Well, to be honest, on Monday, I can't move. I'm so tired from gigging and from running around, running up and down the country and hours in the car driving. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted on Monday. But it's like working really intensely and then you get all this time off. And also, I'm self-employed, so the good points of that is I can do what I like, but the bad points is I've got to do my own accounts and they've got to be in a couple of days.
Yeah, end of the month, major problems. Does this mean, though, that anything you can find a receipt for goes in at this point?
Well, obviously, you know, you can't claim for things like crack cocaine. I don't think the tax man would be up for that.
Do you get receipts when you buy that sort of... No, I don't think I want to
know. Depends on where you buy it.
But there's a limit, and it's part of the excitement of being a comedian. It means that you can't be a stupid comedian then, doesn't it, really? However daft some of them come across on stage... Then
you have to have a modicum of intelligence to be able to do the job. You've got to be able to, you know, think of the jokes, write the jokes, execute the jokes. You've got to be able to book your gigs, get to your gigs, book your travel. You know, you can't do it if you're a moron.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't suggesting you were. Don't give me that look.
I didn't say that you were.
Zoe would make an awful comedian, I feel.
No, I did try it the once. Remember that chap wrote me a joke, my timing was awful.
It was, it was terrible. We had Ken Rockin, who's written for a load of people, Dave Allen, that sort of thing.
Oh, really?
And two Ronnies. And he's done...
He wrote me a joke, didn't he?
Yeah, and you wrecked it.
It wasn't too bad.
It was terrible. It's still available to download online now if you want to find out how bad Zoe is at doing humour. Is there a bit of your set you're prepared to share with us at the moment? He's just putting you on the spot because I hadn't agreed this with you.
You swine.
Yes.
I was gigging in Bath on Saturday night, and I was doing stuff because we all like the Irish accent, don't we, ladies? Mm-hmm. Everyone likes the Irish accent, and the Southern Irish accent, it's so seductive. It doesn't matter what you actually say in a Southern Irish accent, it will just come out sounding like, get your knickers off. What did you say? Pass the butter. Oh, sorry. And then you pull your knickers up. But the Northern Irish accent isn't so much, is it really? Because if somebody chats you up and says, I want to make love to your Nate, it just sounds a little bit too much like, you've got 15 minutes to get eight.
Those days, fingers crossed, are behind us. Stormont keeps going the way it's supposed to.
Well, who knows?
But it'd be good to have you in. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to go now? Because I know you've got other places to be, haven't you? So do you want to go now, or do you want to actually stay around?
I'm going
to
be late for my slimming club.
What on earth do you need to go for a slimming club for? Heaven only knows.
I'm getting the middle-aged bed and none of my clothes fit me. I've joined this slimming club in Willidall, right? And... Slimming World, rather, is the most complicated thing I've ever had to get my head around.
It's not the greens and the red days.
Yeah, it's like green day, red day, healthy A choices, healthy B choices, but only when Mercury's in retrograde.
And then honestly, you've got naughty things you've got naughty things you can have as well.
Sins, that's it. But it's like trying to crack the code at Bletchley Park in World War II. And I'm so rubbish at it, I keep expecting for my kitchen to be invaded by Nazis at any minute. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm so hopeless at this diet.
Oh, just to run off with your cream crackers, yeah.
Terrible. And then I joined a gym as well, and I weighed myself the other night, right, and I've lost half a pound. I've been to the gym four times, right, and I was to the point of going, right, get naked, right, damn, okay, how much does my makeup weigh? So I'm trying to take my makeup off. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to go there. But yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
Look, thank you so much for coming in. And next, yeah, I might bump into your parents again next time at the theatre, as it seems to happen quite a bit.
They're quite theatre buffs. Yeah, they're going to see Stones in His Pockets.
Oh, right, no, okay. I've not booked tickets for that one yet.
Oh, you want to get in there quick.
It takes the Murray seal of approval, that one does, in the family household.
They're quite into the theatre, more so than the comedy. Swines.
Well, where can we find you next? The website will give a full listing, won't it?
SusanMurray.co.uk. No, Susan-Murray.co.uk. I'm next at Funny Side of Covent Garden on Friday, and then the following weekend, on the 5th and 6th, I am in Liverpool.
So worth popping along to see one of those if you are in that area. I know we do have people tuning in and downloading from all over the country. So enjoy yourself. And I still been meaning to get to Edinburgh at some point. So can I class you as an actual friend now? So I've got two people, you and Robert, and go and see performing in Edinburgh.
You mean you can blag free tickets off?
She's got you down to a T. Look, every time somebody comes in, he's after the free tickets.
I don't actually normally ask, though. I wait for them to suggest. It works much better that way.
I'm actually doing the Leicester Comedy Festival.
Right, that's not too far away from us here in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, so. That's only about, an hour and a quarter?
I used to work in Leicester and commute, so I do know it's not too far away.
Yeah, I'm at the Halley Vegetarian Restaurant, and I can't remember the date, which is a bit slack of me.
But it is on your website, susan-murray.co.uk.
Yes, it will indeed. So, okay, well, I'm going to sod off now.
Yeah, you disappear and go and get confused about your vegetables or whatever it is. And I wish you every success for the future and with the diet. Cheers. Susan Murray, thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Ta-ra. So Susan has now gone out the door. And Muscombe, we welcome. You've got more space to run around, haven't you? Hello again, Muscombe.
Hello.
Oh, it's very crowded. Very
loud. Well, there's how many we've got now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that right, Denny? Is that 5?
Yes, we have 5. We should have 7.
But
we have 5.
We won't go there at the moment then. But we have got a great gang here. We've got Denny, who you've just met, and in the latest Muscombe production, what is your role?
I'm the producer, choreographer.
So that's Denny.
Is that the dancing?
That's the lot, yes. I do all the shouting and putting people in their places. Mm,
telling people to get their hats on and off and things like that.
Yes, and other things.
There are a lot of hats in this particular production.
Actually, yes.
Yes, there are.
Lots of feathers.
Always lots of
talk about feathers. Showgirls, yes.
That sounds good. Also, we have David. Say hello.
Hi.
We've got Carl.
Hi.
Carol.
Hi.
And Chris.
Hello.
There we go. So, what's he called again? Coca-Cabana. Now, that's got way too many syllables in it for my liking. Muscombe itself's been going for 70 years.
We have, yes.
And how many...
Looking well for it, though, aren't they? Going for 70 years. Sorry.
Anyway, so Muscombe's been going for 70...
That was pathetic.
So Muscombe's been going for 70 years. And in spite of Zoe's inference, none of these were around at that time.
No.
So can you list for us all the productions you've done over the last 70 years?
Oh, for goodness sake. I can list last year's.
Okay.
I can remember.
But I've been to see I'm sure there's one or two of your do's I've been along to. A couple, and they're very good.
They are
extreme. Surprised, Jason.
No, I'm not sounding surprised. A surprise would be you turning up in something and it going well. This lot are very talented. Because some of these guys, they appear in all sorts of things all over the place. Because I happen to know that Chris is a member of Goldthorne Theatre as well, aren't you, sir?
Correct, yep.
And is there another one I've seen you in as well?
Possibly Impulse.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah, possibly. I'm sure that he keeps turning up everywhere. But there's a lot of talented people in our city involved in lots of different things. So explain how you came to choose the whole Copacabana thing.
It's our committee that choose whatever show we're going to perform next. We did West Side Story last year and thought, well, we actually did Copacabana about 7 years ago.
I'm glad neither of us can say that, because I was going to get paranoid.
Isn't it?
Zoe, can you say Copacabana for
Copacabana.
Us?
Copacabana.
No.
No, I don't know.
We just call it Copa.
It's easy to just say Copa, really, isn't it? We all know what we're talking about. So, yes, they decided to do Copacabana in March at the Grand Theatre for a week. And we're in full swing at the moment.
Right, well, it seems whenever I talk to you guys, you're always slightly off mic, but that's because when you're going to sing, you're going to be very loud. So you're going to do us a tune.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll have another natter. So it's all a cappella, isn't it, we're doing
it
today?
It is, yes.
Okay. Actually, Zoe has actually got... No, you haven't, no.
No.
No. Actually, I've got one on my iPod. That might work. No, let's not go there.
No.
So it is the title number first.
It is, yeah.
And this is a slightly cut-down version, because in the real thing there are many, many more of you.
Oh, yes, there's over 50 on stage, so that's
50?
Awesome. I don't think we could get that many
in
here.
No, we'd struggle with that, but there we are. So, once again, they are must come. Take it away.
Thank you.
A little number from Copacabana.
Okay.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there. She would merengue and do the cha-cha. And while she tried to be a star, Tony always tended bar across the crowded floor. They worked from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more?
At the Copa, Copacabana, the hottest spot north of Havana. At the Copa, Copacabana, music and passion were always a fashion at the Copa.
They fell in love. That was lovely. Round of applause for me. You can applaud yourselves as well if you want to. But that was very good. Well, there's only two of us. It sounds like we weren't bothered with the applause. That was brilliant. Lovely. And you've warmed up now, so you can do more singing as we go along.
Yeah.
But, Denny, we point out that the committee choose the piece that you're going to perform.
Yes.
Have they ever got it wrong? Or have you always been able to rise to the occasion?
No, to be honest, over the years, with amateur companies and obviously only having certain shows that we are allowed to perform, sometimes you have to repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10 years you go over the same show again.
It's a different group of people there very often.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, as I said, we did Copacabana 7 years ago, but the cast as it stands at the moment, there's about 5 that were in the 7 year ago production. Mm-hmm. So the rest, it's completely new to them.
Look at the state of David. Some of them weren't even born, but there we go.
Well, yeah.
Is it often, when you're doing the choreography, hard work getting some of the blokes to dance? Because the women will probably do it, but the blokes don't want to play, do they?
It's hard work, because usually, you know, the men are difficult to get hold of in the nicest way.
And you've tried in another
And I've tried in every way, shape or form. But they work hard for me. Most of the men aren't trained.
Mm-hmm.
All of the girls usually are.
Oh, because they go along.
Yeah,
they want to be a ballerina when they grow up.
Exactly.
Chris, do you ever want to be a ballerina?
No.
Now, don't talk to Chris about dancing. His legs aren't good.
I actually broke my ankle on stage 1 year, and my tap dancing was no worse after I'd broken it than it was before.
Ah, so that's not a good sign. But they join in and do what they can.
Yeah, the guys do work hard. They have to. I mean, if you want to be in a... It's okay if you just want to be in a chorus or a choral society. We are a musical comedy company.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to be able to sing, dance and act, so they have to move, whether they like it or not.
And sometimes it requires the electric cattle prod to get them going.
Oh, big ones. Big time, yeah.
Okay, right. Pretend they're not listening. How would you rate these three guys here? Who's the best? Chris, we know, struggles. Carl, is he any good? Carl, cause you any problems?
Carl is a very energetic little person.
Right.
That's not necessarily saying he's
good. I would say, I mean, he tries to get from A to B, as I ask him, quite quickly.
But sometimes via C or D.
Sometimes he can wander.
Z.
Yeah.
But he will get there eventually, but mm-hmm. his little legs do have problems.
Okay. And David's blushing slightly as well.
Well, David, he's golden, David. He's our leading man. He takes the part of Tony, and he has to be able to sing, dance and act, and he really is a lovely lad.
So the rest are terrible, but David's okay is what we've been pretty much saying.
Oh, no, well, Carol, no, I haven't spoken about Carol.
Well, Carol's actually a young lady, so we weren't going to worry about it. She's obviously been to many dancing classes
Carol has
in her
danced
time.
From the age of about 3 and a half, so she's a truly well-seasoned performer. Is that the nicest way?
She's only 21.
So, but with the girls, it is usually so much easier. Mm-hmm. But the lads just need that little kick occasionally.
So you can do another number for us now. Does this one involve any kind of dancing?
We could see some moves, couldn't we? That would be good.
Maybe if you take it in turns to avoid injuring anybody.
Perhaps you can show you a few, Jason.
I can't dance.
But it doesn't matter.
My dancing's good on the radio.
Yes, that would work every time.
Chris's dancing is good in the blackout. To be honest.
What you got lined up for us this time?
Well, we thought we might have a go at Sweet Heaven.
Okay. Well, now you've got your own mic, then. You can move along a little bit and we can get all the guys in front of a microphone each. Chris, we could move round a bit because we lose. The fact you're taller than everybody else doesn't really help, does it? But there we go. So this one is. Where in the show is this one?
This appears about halfway in Act One, and it's because Tony has a dream, you see. He goes from present day back into the 1940s, in fact, 1947, I think, and that's where he dreams of Lola being a showgirl at the Copacabana with a yellow feather in her hair and her dress good down to there, and that's how the story goes. So this is a dream sequence. As I say, there's usually about 50 people on for this, but we're going to sing it all together, aren't we, guys?
Take it away.
Sweet heaven, I'm in love again. Sweet heaven, I'm in love again. You came along, now what can I do? I only want to be with you. Sweet heaven, here I go again. I'm hooked from head to toe again. 1 minute I'm so lonely and then, oh sweet heaven, hey babe, now that I've found you, life's a song. Say babe, where are you hiding? I've been waiting so long. Sweet heaven, I'm in love again, so totally in love again. I'll shout it everywhere I go. I'll sing it on the radio. I want the whole world to know. Sweet heaven, I'm in love. I am.
Round of applause again for the guys. Both of us. But... Well, it's hard work. And often you hear songs from the musicals and they're sung completely out of place and out of context.
They'll throw a song in anywhere, won't they, in a musical?
Yeah, and you get some damn strange stuff. Is there anything in this one that makes you think, hang on a minute, why are they doing that one there?
Not sure. I mean, in Act Two, we go over into Cuba, Havana in Cuba, and there's a show within a show which they perform all about pirates. And all of a sudden you think, oh, we have pirates. Where do they come from? But it's a lovely number. But that's musicals, isn't it?
They throw things in that song, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They got it left over from something else.
I think we'll put that one in there because I don't know what else to put in there. So but nothing we can't cope with.
Well, apparently America's a lot worse than it is over here. They just have songs here, there, and everywhere, and it never seems to make any sense.
They bring them out of the archives, don't they? You think, oh, that's a real old one. Where have they got that one from?
No, we wouldn't remember them.
No,
it'd be all new to us.
Well, my sister used to love Barry Manilow.
He has a following.
Sell us some tickets to this one, then.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, you either hate him or you do love him.
You either hate him or just don't dislike him that much.
Well, no, but he's a showman, isn't he? He's a showman.
I don't think he's changed that much look-wise either.
His nose is still the same.
Sorry. So is that who comes and watches? Is it most
the Barry Manilow does not go and see Muscom?
No,
hey,
the
people you never know.
Are those likely to be your audience? Is like Barry Manilow fans, or is it just people that want to come and see a musical?
I would think so. I mean, the ladies of the country, they do like Barry, don't they? And I think they would follow him. But we have a good audience, a following. Our members have to sell their quota of tickets, and you're only remembered by your last show, aren't you?
Yeah.
And they think, well, if I enjoyed whatever it was, we'll try this one. So that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. So then that's how David got the lead, was it? He sold more tickets than anyone else last
time. Oh, no! No, he auditioned.
Uh-huh.
He auditioned, and obviously he was the best
auditioner. You love David, don't you? You think he's great. He's a little pet, isn't he?
I just don't want to lose him. My little pet, that's awful.
Well, it's not, in a nice way.
In a nice way.
You don't run around in the lead or anything.
No, not at all.
Before anyone starts getting weird ideas. Then he's a bit of a control freak, I think.
That's strange.
We're going to hear some more from you in a bit, but give us all the details on the performances first.
Right, yes. Wolverhampton Grand Theatre, we all know that. We open on the 16th of March through to the 20th. Two matinees on the Wednesday and the Saturday afternoon. Obviously, you can get tickets at the box office. I can give you the number if you wish.
Take it away.
Wolverhampton 01902 429 212. That's the box office. And if you want to see a spectacle of showgirls, feathers, sequins...
And that's just David, Carl and Chris.
No! No, it is a spectacle. The colours, the vibrance of this show. It's lovely. Lovely.
Excellent. Well, we'll hear some more from you before we throw you
back. I might look into getting some tickets for my sister, because like I say, she likes Barry
Manilow. She likes Barry Manilow.
Yeah, she used to be mad on him.
There will now be a fight to see which one of these gets to sell them to you as well. Lovely. Well, we'll hear more from you before we close the milk bar down for another week. However, we've got another guest.
We can go to the phones for a music expert, Jason, I do believe.
Matt Thomas joins us on the phone.
Hello, this is Matt Thomas. I'm calling from London, a company called The Music Consultants.
And what is it that the Music Consultants do?
Well, what we do is we offer some advice, some expert advice indeed, for people who are just starting out in the industry and people who don't really know what to do, who don't necessarily know anybody, who don't have any contacts, and just want to get some advice and some feedback about their first entry points into the business.
So do you tend to find bands are coming along with a demo tape, sending it in to you and going, are we any good?
Yes, pretty much. That's one thing that we seem to get, yes.
And is it changed a lot, I suppose, in your time doing this? On the way in which people can put things together at home compared to what used to turn up to A&R labels in the past?
Absolutely, 100%. The quality of what I get now is just ridiculous. And by ridiculous, I mean ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. And people are producing now what would have cost tens of thousands of pounds to produce in the past.
And they do it all on their home computer.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, pretty much people can get production-ready material on their home computer and then just take it to a studio and get the final thing down. It's really vocals and live instruments that are a problem now.
No, it says on my little bit of information here that you all have high-level musical background. What sort of backgrounds do you all have?
That is correct. Well, speaking for myself, I came out of... I did 17 years in the big record labels, working for two of the big evil majors. So that's where all my grounding comes from. And my speciality background was marketing, and it was marketing for development bands, but also marketing for big established rock bands. Mm. And some of my colleagues come from A&R backgrounds or live backgrounds, or in fact management backgrounds. So what we bring together is a combination of skills that we believe will help new and emerging musicians and talent in 2010, where we are now. In other words, using a combination of traditional information, but also new information, new experience.
Do you find that that's the problem in some cases, that people, you know, have got the talent but don't necessarily know what to do with it?
Absolutely, because if you look at your average consumer, who at the moment is faced with hundreds of reality TV shows, they get misinformed that is the only way to do it. In other words, if you're in a band and you want to make it, it's like, what other choice do you have but to go and audition for the latest TV show?
But you tend to find they come crying to you, having been rejected by X Factor and with a cassette.
Saying, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
No, I think that the people that I deal with are either before that level or just wouldn't even dream of entering the X Factor at all.
They're the sort of people that want to be taken like as seriously as musicians rather
exactly.
than from, yep. go from yep. on one of those.
Yeah, and so from that point of view, they want to write their own songs. They don't want to have songs written for them.
Mm. Do you tend to find that you get people through who've got an idea and a direction, and you see talent which is completely opposite to what they really think they can do?
Yes, I've dealt with a few of those in the past, but actually the thing is, everybody's got a talent, and the best thing to do is, if a talent is able to be nurtured, what I'm not about is is trying to force talent in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Talent seems to take itself to market, and as long as the talent is encouraged, it will eventually take the direction that it should take. I can't think of anything worse than taking somebody and pushing them in a totally different direction and trying to fit a left foot into a right shoe.
And how does it work then to pay for all this? Because obviously your time isn't going to be cheap with the level of experience you guys have got.
Well, one of the reasons that we started this and that we all came together is that we share a passion for developing music and for helping new artists get off the ground. And I was, as well as being an artist manager, I was spending an awful lot of time in coffee shops and on the phone to new bands and new artists. And you know, and every time I spoke to somebody, it'd be about an hour and a half. And I, in the end, I thought, well, I'd love to do this properly, but it doesn't come for free. So we've put into place what I believe is the fairest pricing structure for our time and our expertise. And I don't think anybody will find a fairer pricing structure. And the other thing that our pricing structure enables us to do is to have a finite transaction. So in other words, we are not promising anything to the artist, nor are we asking anything from the artist. And I think you'll find a lot of people out there will ask for something in return, because I know that the artist can't pay them a lot of money, but they might ask for some of the rights, they might ask for some of the publishing rights, they might ask them to sign on the dotted line somewhere. Sometimes it would be underhand, sometimes it wouldn't. They might ask for loyalty, they might ask for legal fees, they might ask the artist to run up legal fee debts. We ask for one single transaction, and we guarantee what they'll get for that.
And it also, I suppose, proves that they're serious about what they want to do rather than just wasting someone's time because they think they can sing a bit.
Well, that's exactly right, yeah. And they have to go through the process. It's mostly computer-based online, and they actually have to go through the process of uploading something onto our website. So it's easy to upload something, obviously, but you need to go through the process, and throughout that process, you're asked, I think it's about three times, if you definitely want to proceed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever like refused somebody because you just can't help them because they're just not very good?
As already said, everybody's got some talent somewhere.
I know, yeah, but
there might be a greengrocer
that sent something in and they really haven't. They're not going to get anywhere.
No, I tell you what, I would never, ever, ever turn around and tell somebody that they should stop.
No.
What I would do is tell them that I think they should seriously consider how they approached it, or that maybe they should have a look at their influences, and you know, rather than telling them that they're going in totally the wrong direction, ask them to have a think about the direction that they think they're going in. But I think to tell somebody to stop would be churlish, because as we know, the world is full of stories about people who are told that they were rubbish and that they should stop, or that they weren't signed or whatever, and that have continued to achieve great success. So I think all that I could do, really, if somebody sent me something that was absolute rubbish, I would, which I haven't had, by the way, I've never heard anything that is absolute rubbish, but if somebody sent me something that I didn't think had any commercial merit, I would simply say to them, I'm not sure how commercial this song is. If you're doing it for artistic satisfaction, then fantastic. If you want to make money selling it, then you should reconsider.
A bit like Bjork, but she has a following, but there we are. No, I mean, from this, though, is there anybody you've tipped to the top and they've really gone for it that you're prepared to name names on? Any big stars out there that you've helped us to form?
Not yet. It would be unfair if I did, because it would put too much expectation on what is very... We are really at the embryonic stages of an artist's career. We wouldn't... That's why we offer such... I mean, you can play us as little as one song, and that is really the end of the market that we're catering for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody that we're talking to at the moment would be ready, because it's all about developing the artist.
It's working on what is there. And really saying to them, you know, this is the direction that you probably are best suited to moving towards.
Absolutely, or that we believe you could. I think it's all about coulds instead of shoulds. And I think that the really exciting thing about the music industry at the moment is that anything goes. It's like what I always say, it's like the Wild West out there. And absolutely anything goes. And if you know what you are as an artist, if you know what your essence is, There are a million places that you can then go and project that essence. And so it's really, it's a world of possibility out there, and that's what we try and encourage.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, give us the website so people can pop along and check out what is available to them if they do feel they need the help.
Thank you. The website is very simple. It's www.themusicconsultants.com.
And it starts online, but it turns into an interaction between you and the artists who are concerned. It really turns into a partnership during that period, so you know what the direction is, and then hopefully they then go off their own way and do what they want to do.
Exactly right.
Brilliant. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Good to talk to you. Ta-ra for now.
Okay, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
There we go. So, Zoe, have you got any talents you're looking at developing then now? Are you going to send a tape of you singing in the back?
I'm not going to send into him, no.
No, but there are some videos of you online.
There isn't.
No?
You've not been on our Facebook, have you, Jason?
No. There's stuff that people can see.
No, I'm not very good at singing, I must be fair.
We're not going to line you up for Muscombe.
No,
Denny, would
I'd be one of the people that it's redirected to a different...
Do you want to get Zoe to audition something for you now,
oh,
just to
God.
See what she can do?
Well, we could always work with you, Zoe.
So, very hesitantly said.
Can you dance as
you
well?
See, as long as you can sing Happy Birthday, I'm
keen. I wasn't one of those people that did dancing from like a very young age.
Okay,
sing
Happy Birthday, just so we get an idea of the tonal quality.
If you can
of
hold
voice.
A note on Happy Birthday, you stand a chance.
I don't think
take it away.
So.
Pretend it's little David's birthday.
I did sing it on stage once last year, actually, when I was on holiday. But that was part of like.
No, sing for us, please.
I can't.
Go on.
No,
she wants a spotlight, doesn't she? Yeah. I can tell.
No, honestly, it'd start raining if I'd sang.
That bad.
It is really.
Dear. Right, so we're going to have another tune for us.
Now we
tried to bully Zoe into doing something and she won't play ball.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hand you over very quickly to Chris because I'm sure he'll be able to tell you his character is nasty. Nasty man.
Yeah, proper gangster baddie in this one. Mafia boss, Italian. I get to shout a lot and beat people up and things, so it's good fun. So not like me at all, I think.
Gone quiet again.
Yeah, you're allowed to disagree with me on that. So yes, I'm Rico Castelli, so I'm the nasty one.
Okay, and you're taking the lead in this song?
I have a song to myself, and unusually for musical, I have a sort of a proper Italian-style Neapolitan song rather than the musical style, so I get a proper sing. It's not very often get to be a proper baritone in these things these days.
Well, all yours then. The microphone is ready and waiting. We've even got Carol's Alive Music stand for you as well.
Absolutely.
I think it's quite nice there.
This is the bit where he's trying to seduce the girl, but basically he's got a very drunk first.
Okay.
So he goes off with a... There are times you live as if in a dream, drawn by your heart to a distant door, one that opens for a moment to a world that you've never known before. Were you real, or were you part of a dream, calling to me from across the floor? In your sweet voice there was music, and we danced the bolero de amor.
We can all applaud this time. Let's go. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
He didn't sound very drunk, though, did he?
No, I'm not drunk.
No, I play with champagne and slip drugs in it and things. Like
ooh. Not paying attention at all, either.
I thought he said he had a bit of a drink first before he went to
see
his lady.
Did.
Oh, she did, sorry.
Can we have subtitles for the next thing?
I've got my headphones on, you see. Like,
they do for the hard of thinking.
It's the blonde bit, you see. It's seeping back into my head.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing else in there, is there? So, back to the plot. Denny, so tell us about the orchestration for this one. Who's performing?
What, the next number?
No, the band.
Oh, the band. Yeah. Oh, we have, what are they called?
The Midland Orchestra.
Midland Orchestra, are they? Yeah, Midland Orchestra.
You booked somebody, haven't you?
I hope to goodness they have, yes. Yeah. This is where all our money goes, you see. Mm-hmm. Booking
They're
these.
Expensive.
Yeah, it's an expensive show to put on. It's costing us £75,000.
Gosh.
So make sure you buy your ticket so you can get that back.
Exactly. Oh. You know, it is an expensive show because purely with the orchestra, with
about
all...
19 in the band, I think.
19? And yeah. 19 musicians, yeah, in the band. Mm-hmm. And the costume is a big plot.
Mm.
Big dress plot. Big fancy costumes. Feathers everywhere.
It's basically a massive production is what we're saying here.
Quite big, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we can cope.
That's the, yeah, well, he's got enough experience of it within the company.
Well, we all try, don't we?
Excellent. Well, having seen your stuff before, I know it will be rather good. And once again, remind people of the dates.
March the March 16th to the 20th.
You've got your group sheet and the website and telephone numbers, etc. Again,
I'm passing you over to David.
The website's www.muscom.co.uk, and the box office number is 01902 429 212. And tickets start at as little as £5, so there's no excuse.
Not at all. And, as a Grand Theatre, a great place to be as well, isn't it?
Brilliant, yes.
It's, what's it like for you appearing on stage at the Grand?
Well, it's my second time with the lead part. Last year I had it as well, which is a bit scary, so still nervous, but enjoy. It's fantastic. It's an opportunity. It's brilliant. Love
I
it.
Can't
it's
imagine being on stage and having all those people looking, watching you. I suppose you don't really see,
you don't
the
see
face
them with the lights. No.
You cannot see a thing from the grandstand. Blinded. Is that, the lot? And as soon as I stick a spotlight on you, you've had it completely.
Actually, when you stand on stage and look out to the auditorium, it looks a lot smaller than when you're the opposite way round, sitting in the auditorium and looking at the stage. I don't know why, it's an optical.
I suppose once you start, you get really into it and you tend to forget that anybody's anyway.
Yeah. I mean, usually the dress rehearsal is very nerve-wracking because we get through our problems, but
you shout at us, that's why.
we get our notes after.
No.
Possible.
I can see Denny shouting actually. Well, whichever congratulatory good luck message you would like.
Not break a leg.
No, break an ankle in Chris's case. good luck with the whole thing. I'm sure it'll be absolutely brilliant. Buy your tickets now. You've heard the details. Rewind the podcast a bit if you want to hear more. And I think we ought to line Zoe up for your next production.
I'd love to work with her.
You see? That'd be great, wouldn't it? You must have some talent in there somewhere.
No, not really. I can't dance. I used to go to aerobics class and it took me that long to learn the steps. I was all right once I got the hang of it. But I've never ever been like a girly girl that's gone and done ballet and dancing and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to sing though.
We've given you the opportunity here.
No, you see, I'd like to be able to sing, but unfortunately my voice isn't part of that.
Speaking is your thing.
I suppose so, yeah.
Heaven help us.
I think that's why I like radio, though, because it's all about music and other people that can play and sing and that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, basically take anybody else's talent and use it to your own advantage. Excellent. Works every time. Thanks to everyone who's been part of the podcast this week for joining us in the Milk Bar. Thanks to Matt from the Music Consultants. Thank you to the one and only Susan Murray for dropping in. Susan-Murray.co.uk for more information there. And remind me the Muscom website again. I can never remember this one.
www.muscom.co.uk.
It's as simple as that. M-U-S-C-O-M is the spelling on that one, in case you're Zoe. You can find out more.
That was very quickly put in there, Jason.
You barely noticed either. No. So back next week for more excitement and fun. What do you got an exciting week planned? Anything good lined up?
Ooh,
what is the world of Zoe?
Just putting more stock on my till, I think. I'll be playing shops later.
You love it, don't you? You had a post office as a child, didn't you?
I did actually.
Yeah. And now it's going to be a big grown up shop in Brood. Sorry,
Brood, not Breewood. As
Breewood
or
no Breewood?
Yeah, it is Brood.
Brood. We'll be off back next week talking more nonsense, most likely. And thank you again for joining us for this week's instalment of the Milk Bar. So, have a now.
Thank you.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.